Hey there, Danny with Right Foot Down. I messed up this ad read so many times because I really want to tell you about Track Monkey Apparel. They make great quality enthusiast shirts along with hats, stickers, watches, patches, you name it. A couple of my personal favorites are their Life is Better at the Track tee and their One Track Mind tee. You should really check them out and see for yourself. Their products are great for you or the gearhead in your life. Visit trackmonkeyapparel.com.
You're listening to the Untitled Car Show in partnership with RightFootDown.com. Visit RightFootDown for your daily automotive fix. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend. It's the best way to support this show. If you want to visit the archives, go to YouTube and search for Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to the archived episodes. If you want to follow the show, just search for Untitled Car Show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can always send an email to the show at untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. We're so glad you decided to spend the next hour or so with us. Without further ado, let's get into today's program. Hello and welcome to Untitled Car Show. I am your host, Ike. I am joined today by a Mr. Let me check my notes here. Finn Gergens or Andrew Howell. I'm not quite sure what his given name is, but he hosts or co-hosts a wonderful podcast called Wrench Every Day. It's available on YouTube, on iTunes, pretty much everywhere you're hearing my voice. You can go out and you can type Wrench Every Day into the search bar and you can get a hold of him. Mr. Andrew Howell, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing so well. How are you doing?
I am a little spastic just because of new equipment and stuff. I hope the audio quality is a little improved for everyone. So everyone let me know. Wrench Every Day is a wonderful podcast. It's kind of, it's you and it's a Mr. Freddy Hernandez, or as the internet calls him, Travaris, which I will never be able to pronounce right for the life of me. it's a name. I get it. He's worked with it for a long time. I will never be able to pronounce it right.
There's actually a meaning to the name.
I've had him on the show. Don't you think I know? Come on. No. For those of you who want to know the meeting, see, this is called plugs. Go listen to the first time he was on this podcast. It means comrade. It's like Russian. I just spoiled it. But you host a podcast with him, and I'm very curious about how you came into this whole mix of doing the podcast and kind of what your role is on the show and, you know, your take on the show as it is.
Sure. How I got involved, I guess, with Freddie is through work. For those of you that don't know, I work at a shop, a parts distributor called Injuku Racing, based out of Central Florida. I was doing a series of videos called Whip Whips, WHIPWIP. So Whip Works in Progress. And I was just reaching out to YouTubers that I knew were in the area, Freddie being one of them. And so he came over and we made the video and got to chit-chatting. And I guess it was just the start of a beautiful bromance. We've spent a lot of time together since then. He took me to dinner a couple of times. Ooh. So, yeah.
Did you split the check on the first one or did he pay?
Oh, he paid. Oh. Yeah, so things are getting pretty serious pretty quickly.
That's good.
So we already had a good rapport, and I would say back in November, December, something along those lines. This is when he was doing the Dora the Explorer build with Chris from B is for Build. He invited me over. Yeah, come hang out. Me and Chris are working on the thing, and so on and so forth. So I come over. And we're chatting for a while. We all go to like Steak and Shake, and just kind of they're taking a break, and just hanging out, whatever. And he's like, "So I've been thinking about doing a podcast," and he just kind of pitched the idea to me. And he's like, "You seem to know what you're doing. day 47. I still don't know what I'm doing. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. We did a whole bunch of planning and coordinating, and then sat down at a table and started recording episodes.
Mm-hmm. And first of all, for someone who has no idea what they're doing, the show was phenomenal in terms of its quality, audio quality. It's great with the rapport between you two guys. So it's like it's almost Morning Zoo crew-esque, maybe a little bit, but no, not quite. It's such a good rapport between you two guys. You can tell that there's, you know, a mutual respect there, maybe a little bit of mutual admiration, and it's there's some good questions, good topics that come up on the show, and, you know, the fact that, like, you're able to roll through these topics and have a podcast that comes out of that high of a quality every day of the week is very impressive to this podcaster. So I remember talking to Freddie a little bit, like right as the show was coming to formation, and it was like he was telling me he was going to do it every day. I'm like, good luck with that, buddy. Like, that's going to be hard. And you guys have done a phenomenal job. So you have achieved something that I find very difficult. So
Mazel tov. Thank you.
One day I'll get back to doing three a week, but for now it's just one. Sorry, everyone. Too bad. I have a life. Frazzled brain. I'm sorry, everyone. So it's such a good show. I like the way you guys are doing things. I like how the show format kind of flows. You obviously, you know, have a good background in cars. And I think the thing we should do here is we should break into what I call the Inside the Actor Studio questions, where we kind of get to who you are as a base car person. So these questions are kind of off the top of the head, you know, as, well, Mr. Hernandez pointed out, like, you know, car guys and gals, our thoughts and opinions on vehicles change. So this is you in the moment we sit. So what is your favorite car?
Oh, God, no.
I know, it's the hardest one, but, you know.
I can't. Oh, man. I'm just gonna get into rapid fire mode here. Ferrari F40.
Okay, that works. That is a good car. That is a good answer. What is your least favorite car?
PT Cruiser.
No, that's never come up on the program at all, has it? one of the most hideous cars. I'm glad we agree on that opinion.
Yes.
What modification trend turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? What is the vehicle you see mod done to a vehicle? Maybe you don't want to do it to yourself, but you're like, I'm inspired, or I appreciate that.
Right now, I would have to say the riveted on wide body fenders or over fenders. Like, I, for some reason, I just, in certain applications, I'm just like, oh man, I should do that. And there's a company that has done a group buy of wide flares for STs, Focus STs, and I'm like, I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it.
I know, it's tempting. Did they have one for a Volvo 740? Asking for a friend.
You know what? I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice with just rivet on body flares. Hear me out here. I want to see big, wide, boxy, like 80s style kind of Group B rally, kind of old school IMSA, like really low, really wide, really crazy, like boxy, wide body flares for a 740. I need that in my life.
Yeah. So not so much like a, you know, just keep the square theme going, just big old rectangles around the wheels.
Yep.
So what modification trend, you know, we like to say here that we're donk friendly. We don't, you know, like to harsh on anyone's ride, but you see it and you go, that is hideous, and I will never do that to any of my vehicles, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the whole stance thing, the whole car's barely functional, way too low to the ground, don't enjoy driving, just like to sit around on a parking lot and vape and pretend to be cool. It's like the stance scene is so elitist and clicky, and it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, stance is a common enemy of the car enthusiast, it seems. What car do you dread being stuck behind at a red light?
Oh, always a Mercury Milan.
Well, they're getting
down
rare.
Down here in Florida.
Yeah.
Down here in Florida, it's like every other car. It's because everyone down here is, you know, 75 plus, and they want to go, 45 plus. No matter the speed limit, they want to go like 45 or 50.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought about you on my drive home today before even the show, because I got stuck behind a group of slow-moving vehicles, as is wont to happen here in the great state of Maryland. And I'm curious about your thought about this. There was a BMW that was stuck in the pack who was obviously trying to go back to further north in Maryland, and he was revving the living crap out of his BMW. Is that a mile behind cars and flashing bright? I assume that is probably the reason why everyone around him was doing exactly the speed limit, if not a little bit below. So, dude move or douchebag move on that one?
That's a typical BMW owner move. So douchebag move, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad we agree on this. What automotive sound or noise do you love?
It's got to be the recent trend of the backfires, the burbles, the chat between gears. Be it extra fuel dumped in the exhaust or just an advanced exhaust timing, I cannot get enough of that sound.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it doesn't sound bad. I don't think there's a car that really could sound bad on. Like, even like the Abarth does a good job of like having little backfire burbles too. Like, it's, you can make any of them sound good. Yeah. Yes, I've great little cars.
Yes.
What automotive sound or noise do you hate?
This is a little oddly specific, but cars with CVTs that have aftermarket exhausts.
Yeah, I get that. Because where's the gear shift?
Yeah, it's just – it sounds like a – I don't know. It's just – I can go forever. Yeah. Just like the car. I can do that forever.
It's the Himalayan throat singing of the automotive world.
Which, fun fact, I can do that.
Weren't you just?
Oh, no. I can literally do that.
Well, this is an audio. Maybe we'll do that at the end of the show. We can just get you to go for as long as you can, and we'll just hit record. I'll go to bed, and when we're done, you're done. I'll just wake up at the end of the day and hit cancel the recording. So I'm going to give you a choice of two cars here. You got to pick between one of these two cars. This is now your new daily driver. You're not allowed to modify it other than the way it's already been modified. And you have to live with it every day for the rest of your life.
Oh, no.
And you're going to hate me. So the first one is you get a Ferrari F40. But it has been stanced within an inch of its life. Like, the wheels are basically, you know, perpendicular to the ground. Like, they're driving on just the most razor thin of, like, tread. Or you get a PT Cruiser. I'm just going to go ahead and throw in an SRT4 swap into it. And it has a amazing wide body riveted on kit.
Oh, F40 all day.
Even though it's been stanced, but then you can't even drive it. Nothing you can do in that car. But you're still going F40?
Yeah, but I could sell it.
No, you got to keep it. This is your car. Rest of your life. You have to have one of these two.
World's most expensive coffee table.
I think that's still the right choice. I think what the old expression was like, better dead than – or better dead than red. And I think the expression nowadays should be like, better dead than in a PT Cruiser.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a mini hearse anyways.
This is true. Yeah. Like, I was about to make a very terrible joke. That's not going to happen, Ike. Good job censoring yourself there. Nothing to do with little people.
But Ike, it's an automotive safe space.
This is true. I know. That's the spiel I give to everyone. See, but I was going to have to go back and delete it myself.
Make the joke, Ike.
Well, you know, if a little person dies, you know, you got a miniature hearse. Why not just, you know, it's almost like purpose built for it, right? I mean, come on.
Hey.
Yeah. it's not even that good of a joke. You could have hearse in multiples. Why aren't there hearse in multiple sizes? Now that I'm thinking about that, why isn't there a small hearse, a medium hearse, and a large hearse?
I think there are. It just depends on the car that has been converted to a hearse.
Yeah. But, like, it's not, like, people-specific. That seems strange to me.
Right, right.
Like,
because I mean, I've seen a Tesla that's been converted into a hearse, which is actually kind of a great idea because it's dead silent. Of course, I would make that joke. Oh. Seriously, the critics will grave about that one. I've also seen cars like Ford Scorpio, which is not a car we get here in the U.S., but it seems to be a fairly large car, and that I've seen converted to a hearse as well.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when Shaquille O'Neal dies or the guy from Game of Thrones, the little person on Game of Thrones dies, the hearse size is not impacted by the size of the person. That seems strange to me. So.
What if Shaquille O'Neal wants to be cremated? They could just use a bulldozer to transport his ashes.
This is also true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the next question I'm going to ask is the most important question that really any podcast can ask anyone. Maybe it's the most important question anyone can ask another individual. You know, we're trying to get to a great truth in life here. And this is okay. The way we're going to do it. So this was in our prepared section. So I'm hoping you put a lot of time and thought and effort into this.
Okay.
What's the hardest food to eat while driving?
For me, ice cream, because I don't like ice cream cones, and I have a manual transmission. So I would have literally a bowl of ice cream with a spoon, and I would have to kind of I don't know. It would be almost like an interpretive dance / juggling type of thing going on.
Mm. So this is the part of the show that quickly devolves into stupid shit Ike's done in cars. The missus and I like to go out and get the ice cream occasionally, you know, in the little Fiesta ST. So I'm familiar with the manual transmission problem. And I will say you go out. I'm going to give you some points here. I don't think you're making it into the, you know, top of the leaderboard here, but we're going to give you some points here because ice cream at night, you don't really notice the mess. And when you get up in the morning, it's going to be sticky because you're going to miss. So, yeah.
So here's the thing. The eating ice cream thing wouldn't really happen situation. Figurative, I guess. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I guess illustrative point. Yeah, part. I know. Join the club. You don't eat in your car?
No one eats in my car.
Mm. That's the one of the great joys in life is eating. You drove 100 miles to work at Tesla, right? You were working. You had a super long commute, right?
I drove, close to 100 miles. It was over about an hour and a half one way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you never ate in the car.
Never ate in the car.
You're a crazy person. Like that's like the best thing about like having a long commute.
I'm a crazy person, but I'm a crazy person with an immaculate interior.
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old. That car is not going to be clean on the inside anyway.
Oh man.
Why are there footprints on the back of your Recaros? Like I have a 3-year-old. That's just how that shit happens. Like,
I just drove a Fiesta ST a few days ago, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because I have one and you have a Focus, but I think it's a better car than the Focus.
That's where we will disagree.
Mm. I will say I have Matt Farah backing me up on that. You know, so just saying the Fiesta ST is about as good as the Focus RS. You know, just. And you got the ST, so it's better. It's smaller and it's more nimble. I think that's the part that I really enjoy about it. I do think the Focus is a better car. I think the Fiesta is a more fun car, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to disagree with you again there, pal.
Mm. I don't know. We got to go do some autocross and prove a point. I think that's what that means. So then the next most important question is, what's the hardest makeup to apply while driving?
Lipstick. My beard always gets in the way.
You know, that is a first, bringing up the lipstick. I could see that being an issue, in all honesty, because of the, you know, trying to keep it out of your beard and you have to, like, spend more time and attention. I'm going to put that on the podium. I mean, we're not that we have a bunch of makeup suggestions here, but we're putting that on the podium there. We'll put you in a solid fourth place, which isn't really the podium, but we'll make a tie for third. So
that works. That works.
Number one being now and forever insane clown posse, clown costume makeup on. So I feel like we've made it to kind of the bottom of, you know, who you are as a core of a car person with our answers here. So let's talk a little bit more about your little podcast you got going on and what you're doing over there with the, let's just call him Freddie or Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez. Freddie seems too familiar.
I think that we should, he and I should rename the podcast to Freddie and the Gurr.
Yeah. I would watch that, listen to that. So, not that I don't already, but, like, again, it's, so you guys get together, you do the podcast every day every of the week, and obviously it's done batch recording, so, you know, it's funny, like, how do you, it's kind of hard to tell, like, you're trying to stick to a format, but then you kind of go off on tangents, and, like, I don't know. Have you, how many episodes in now?
So we just recorded up to episode 54, I think.
Wow. That's crazy. It took me a year to do that many episodes.
Well, it sounds like you're slacking.
I got better and then a lot worse.
I got better.
I was dead, but I got better. So how do you, I mean, the podcast vary a little bit in length. They vary a little bit in, you know, topic layout and all that stuff. How do you guys decide when you're going to call it quits on a particular episode and then start into a new episode?
We usually try to stick to, like, the, I'd say, 35 to 45 minute mark. It usually just kind of wraps up naturally. It's, we've kind of gotten into a rhythm because we've done it over 50 times already. So it just kind of works. Yeah. For as far as topics go, we kind of try to come up with topics during the week. Sometimes I live stream while I'm driving to Freddie's house, asking for podcast topics. I'm a responsible driver.
won't be in the car, but we'll live stream. That makes sense.
Yes. So yeah, that's kind of how the episodes come together. And I think that really the tangents are the format, and we still get people commenting like, you need to stay on topic and you need to be more on, you know, structured, and I'm like, that's not our vibe, man. That's not how we roll. Mm-hmm.
Those people will go away, trust me. They leave. They're like, oh, this isn't my show. If you want military precision in your talking, you don't understand how people communicate. So
I feel like military precision is an oxymoron.
Also true. So that brings me to another thought that, like, you seem to be very well versed in the multiple voices, especially you got a great Optimus Prime. I know that, for example. how did this come about? Like, we just wrenched in one day and decided you're going to do voices? Like, where did that come from?
So the voices have been around longer than my wrenching hobby, I guess. I've been doing this since I was a kid, just messing around, mimicking, listening. It's just, for some reason, it's just one of those things, man. I don't really have a solid explanation for it. It's just like I heard someone with a British accent once, and I'm like, oh, I want to try that, and there it was.
So let's talk then about how you got into wrenching and automobiles in the first place. So was it something you were born into? Was it something you were, you know, acquired later in life? Like, how did it come about?
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. So this is actually, this explanation may take longer than you were hoping.
Got all the time in the world, buddy.
So here's a really cool fact about me. I am adopted. It was prearranged. So before I was born, my birth mother had already selected the family into which I would be, adopted. And I've known all my life. My parents, they never kept it a secret from me. It's kind of hard because, you know, they have fairly tan skin, dark hair, dark eyes, and I'm like a polar bear. I'm basically a polar bear.
Yep.
I'm about as white as the snow on the top of the mountains, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Yep. And I'm also like, you know, a bajillion feet tall and, you know, blazing red hair, like long walks on the beach, candlelight dinners. Mm-hmm. So what's really cool is a few years ago, my genetic family reached out to me and I got a chance to speak with my biological parents. On my biological dad's side, he is, and get ready for this because I sure wasn't, he is a radio DJ, narrator, and voice actor.
Hmm.
I had already been into this stuff before I had spoken to them, so kind of crazy. My birth mother was a musician. I'm a musician, only one of my entire family. I play drums. And she is obsessed with cars. So this is really kind of a nature versus nurture situation where, sure, I was raised in a home where, like, my dad is he's obsessed with music. Not really a musical bone in the man's body. He can sing pretty well, but he's really obsessed with the history of music. He's obsessed with the history of not just the artists, but the labels and the people that worked behind the scenes and that sort of stuff. The guy's got a collection of records that numbers in the 5,000 to 6,000. Like, he is so obsessed with music. So, like, music was already kind of in my blood, and I guess that kind of, you know, that was just kind of a natural progression. My dad is also kind of into cars, more as like a nostalgia type of thing. He used to have a 67 Impala before he went off into the military. He's into, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s cars. It's a nostalgic thing for him. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the type of music he likes, Motown, doo-wop, R&B, blues from the 50s and 60s. So I think those two things really jump-started me, and then I learned not only was it from my upbringing, but also from my genetics. That's kind of how I got obsessed with cars. I used to, as a kid, I would flip my stroller over and just sit and spin the wheels for hours. I had a bajillion Hot Wheels cars. I would lay on my back and watch the fan just go round and round and round. Like, that was my thing. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of just, that was my natural progression.
Mm-hmm. So watching the fan go round and round and round, you big into NASCAR?
You know, you think being from the state of North Carolina would be. I have a healthy respect for it, but it's not my shtick.
Mm-hmm. I just said that to piss off some people in particular. They're not just going around. Like, I know, I don't care. that's awesome because you kind of get this, like, you have this predisposition for it, but then you also have, you know, what, like I said, nature versus nurture. So, and it's interesting because I have some people who are close to me in my life who were adopted, and when they meet biological people and they see, like, oh, that's interesting. I don't want to say in case it's their own personal business, but you see people went into similar fields or doing similar things, and it's interesting how all that works out. So what was your first car? What was the thing that you learned to drive on, or what was the thing that you got out and finally had your freedom from the house in?
So initially that would have been my mom's 2001 Toyota Avalon.
Mm. Sex machine.
So it was – yeah, right? Mm. Tell you what. But, you know, as a 15, 16-year-old kid, you know, leather seats, JBL sound system, had a pretty – what I considered to be a really fast V6 under the hood. It was easy to drive. It was very forgiving. That was really kind of where I got my freedom. I would just borrow mom's car and go out and do the thing. Dad had a pickup truck, and that was cool. So,
you sure?
But
you're
I guess the car that I really learned. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The car that I really learned to drive before the Avalon, my mom had. It was a, I want to say a 1996 Chrysler Cirrus. And that was what I got my permit on. And then she got rid of that, got the Avalon, and that's when I got my license. And then, you know, on from there. Mm-hmm. The first car that I had that was mine was a 1996 Saturn SL2.
Mm. We share a Saturn bond here. My first car was an 04 Ion. So do you...
Nice.
Do you share my heartbreak at their disappearance?
You know what? I do. Saturn, to me, always seemed like the really smart but super nerdy like kid amongst the other car makers. They were kind of no-nonsense. They didn't call their motors. They called them power modules, which is just like super cool.
Yeah.
The Saturn that I had, it was a 1.9 liter. The SL2 had the dual overhead cam with, I believe, some kind of variable valve timing. And it also had a performance mode switch next to the automatic shifter. So it would – I think it like raised the RPM at which the gears were changed. So I was Mr. Hot Rod in that car for sure.
I think a Saturn's the perfect car for a, you know, 16, 17-year-old anyway, because, A, it gets wrecked. You're not taking anything off the planet. At least at the time,
right.
That was really important. And, like, now I'm like, I sold my Saturn. I wish I could get it back. But, like, they're plastic body panels. They make a weirdly satisfying noise for an automotive enthusiast. I think it's because they're, I don't know, something just, the exhaust note's just right. And so it sounds like you're going faster than you really are. It might be the total
right.
and entire lack of insulation in that car. But
and you, horsepower.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. Yeah. I remember my brother, the lack of insulation, he was standing outside my car and he could actually hear the music better outside the car than when he got into the vehicle. It's like, that's
nice.
Terrible insulation on that car. But like, I don't know, they're just lovable. I think you're right. I think the nerdy kid, you know, is the best way to describe them, because it's like, well, this is exactly everything that you would want in a vehicle. Yeah, but it's not sexy. But it's everything you want. Like, no, sorry. I'm going to go with the bad boy. Sorry.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's – I'm so sad they went away. I missed that company. So what did you learn to drive stick on? Because I think everything you've said so far has all been automatic.
That's correct. What I learned to drive stick on was a truck that belonged to my grandfather, and then when he passed away, it went to my uncle, my mom's sister's brother, and it was a 1996 Ford Ranger single cab, white with blue everything inside.
I can't get – I was just listening to that going, you said my wife's sister's brother. Isn't that your – or your mom's sister's
brother? My mom's.
Yeah, your mom's sister's brother.
Did I say that?
I think you said your mom's sister's brother, but wouldn't that just be your mom's brother?
My mom's sister's husband.
Oh, okay. See, that's where I got confused. Either crazy or I'm just hearing stuff. Like, one of those two. Yeah.
It most likely is what I did say, because I usually speak too fast for my own good. So, either way, it was my uncle's pickup truck. That's where I learned to drive stick.
So did he teach you, or did someone else teach you?
He taught me the basics, and I really wasn't that good at driving stick when I bought my first stick car. But I realized that it's the only way I'm going to learn is to just throw myself into it. And within less than an hour, I was like, all right, I got this.
Mm. Yeah, it is nerve wracking when you get your first daily driver that stick. If it's not foisted upon you, because I had the same thing. I had a C30 that I learned. My dad taught me very briefly in a Mustang years before. I'm like, I can do this I can go out and buy a manual car. I want a manual car. I know enough. And I get into the C30 and I'm driving it home from the dealership. And, there was a breakdown of the emotional kind, because where I grew up was outside of Chicago and there's no hills. And I bought the car in Virginia and there's hills, apparently. And I was not prepared
yes.
for that. Yeah.
The C30 that you got, what motor did it have in it?
It had a 2.5-liter five-cylinder turbocharged.
Oh, well, that's a nice little motor, let me tell you.
It is a nice little motor. It again, cars I wish I still had. Well, on that, because I don't... Even though it's probably the safest car I've ever owned, my wife was just dead set against putting the little one in it. Like, I don't think it's safe. It's two doors. It's not going to work. Like, okay. Like, guess I'm going to have to go get a V70R because I need something safe. And then I blew a couple head gaskets. So that was disappointing.
Well, the V70R was, that was the Ford era of Volvo, correct?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I won't belabor the point to everyone who's listened, but basically, I fixed it and broke it more and then broke it more again. And then finally it was just like, okay, that needs to go away. Look, a Fiesta ST. That's a perfectly reasonable car. Look, it's got four doors. And that's how I ended up in the Fiesta ST.
And was the V70R a stick?
It was not. It was...
Oh, see, no space ball for you.
I know. And you were just talking about the space ball on today's episode, I believe.
It's so good.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I like Freddie was talking about wrenching on a 740 as being an easy thing. As someone who has a 740, I'm like, oh, parts are plentiful for those cars. No, they're not. They are definitely not plentiful for 740s yet. they might be. Well, I know they're easy to take apart. Fixing them is a completely different thing. Which brings me to nope, I lost my train of thought there. I had a thought. It was forming, and then it just pooped out of my brain. So, we're just going to go. So, you learned on – what was the first stick car you owned?
The first stick car that I owned was the 82 RX-7.
Okay. That got wonderful gas mileage.
9 miles a gallon on a good day.
Yeah. And how many liters of oil?
I would say one every month.
Yeah. That's not a cheap car to have. Now, so you've owned, let's go, so you had the RX-7, and then you had a Mini Cooper, and now the Focus ST. Am I missing anything in there?
From that run, no, that's a complete run.
Hmm. Is there a car you miss more than that RX-7? Because I imagine that's one that hurts, yeah.
Yeah, I still have the steering wheel that I had in that car. I replaced the stock steering wheel when I sold it. And I have it. I'm actually staring at it right now. It's on the shelf here in my computer room office type of deal. And I have it there as a reminder that one day I shall return to the glory and the power and the lack of torque that is a carbureted rotary, hopefully within a year or so. I do want another FB. I will have another FB, and I will put that wheel. I call it the steering wheel of destiny, and it shall be returned to the steering column of a car soon.
Steering wheel of destiny needs to be your first, EP, LP, whatever the hell they call records. But that needs to be your title of your first record, is steering wheel of destiny. Ooh, and it can be shaped like the steering wheel. What?
It's by Mini Cooper Sidecar. That's their first album.
yes, so this is how bad my memory is. I'm like, is that from your show or my show? Because I am having no recollection of where that actually comes from. I know that was said somewhere. I just don't remember where.
It's from my show.
I figured as much. Yeah. I was like, it was funny. So it had to be from your show. Yeah. It all morphs together. So, like, I got to do a solo episode come up anyway, so I'll lament about the problem of my brain and doing all this stuff at the same time and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, yes, so let's, speaking of your show, I asked some questions on your show, and there was one question which you brought up, and you just assumed it was for Mr. Hernandez, you know, not Freddie, because we're not that familiar. I'm just going to say that every time, Mr. Hernandez.
Mr. Hernandez.
Hello, Mr. Hernandez. He's Neo. Holy crap. No, Neo didn't have a Lamborghini. Okay. You said that I was asking him if he wanted to go on the 24 Hours of Lemons rally, and you didn't think it applied to you. You are most welcome and would be very enjoyable to have you join me on the 24 Hours of Lemons rally if you choose to do so in the beginning of July. So I'm not going to put you on pressure and ask you here on the show, but I'm going to inform you on the show. See, that's how I roll. This is how I pressure people to do stuff without pressuring them to do stuff.
Where are the start and finish points of the Lemons rally?
The one in July starts in Michigan and ends in Michigan and goes clockwise around all of the Great Lakes.
Michigan is one of the four states I have not visited yet.
So how is that possible? Okay, hold on. What are the four states?
The four states I have not yet visited are Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Hawaii, and I will have been to all 50.
Mm-hmm. So it goes through Michigan and Wisconsin and then into Canada. So you could knock off two. Right? It's how do you make it to North Dakota before you make it to Michigan? That's just mind-boggling to me.
National parks.
They don't have any of those in Michigan?
There.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they do, but I was on my way to Alaska, man. I drove from North Carolina to Alaska and back, bro.
Yeah, and there's an episode of your show that covers that and how long it took you, and even though you went straight through.
And I was five.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, that's an interesting drive. So I'm assuming, based on what you just told me, that was your father in the military, or was that just something your dad wanted to do? Like, what was the reason behind that?
Yeah, my parents, they have hardcore wanderlust. And as a kid, I got to go. They took me on a whole bunch of really awesome vacations. Summer of 93, we lived in North Carolina, so we drove from North Carolina to Alaska and back. Hit a whole bunch of states and stuff on the way. It was a very long road trip, but we, you know, wanted to see what America had to offer. So we went and did that thing. Did some stuff on the west side of Canada as well. British Columbia, went up through the Yukon. I think we went through Alberta as well. So we were all over the place. And then in the summer of 96, we did an East Coast tour. So, and this is, we moved to Florida in 95. So we drove from Florida all the way up to Nova Scotia, Cape Breton Island, and then all the way back down.
Hmm. So did you get that wanderlust yourself? Is this something that you like to do, is go out on these crazy road trips?
So I do have the wanderlust. I haven't had the time or the money to really act upon the wanderlust. I've done a few business trips here and there. Actually, I used to work for a company that was based out of Maryland. They were based out of Jessup.
You said it wrong. The way you have to say Jessup, you go, Jessup! That's how you have to pronounce it. So,
Jessup!
There you go. Good job.
it's been a while since I've really been on a proper road trip. I think maybe this summer, sometime this summer, my girlfriend and I are going to head up to the area around Asheville in North Carolina, just kind of do the mountain thing, stay in a cabin, go, you know, see some creeks and such. other than that, it's been a long time since I've even left the state, really.
It's Florida. It's kind of hard to get out across the border, you know, with all the new border checks. You know what? Just keep all the bath salts there. Just all the gators and all the bath salts. Just
let me tell you, you haven't truly experienced Florida until you've done it under the influence of bath salts.
Yep. If you're not eating your friend's face, you're not really in Florida.
Yeah. It's a local delicacy.
Yeah. it is. It is funny to me, too, because I don't, like, no offense, Florida, but it's, like, one of the states that I have, like, no interest, like, in being in, and yet I keep finding myself in for God knows what reason. So, like, I don't know.
I love it. I don't see myself living in any other state. It's such a great place to be.
Okay, so I do a lot of Florida bashing. So give me You are now in charge of the Florida State Tourism Board. Give me like the 30 seconds to a minute long. Here's why you need to come visit Florida, Ike.
Sure, and I'll do that, and I'll gear it towards a car person.
Yes.
So no safety inspections, no emissions. Basically, if it has headlights, taillights, and blinkers, it's street legal. no state tax. Pretty affordable cost of living. Palm trees. There is a beach basically an hour and a half from you, wherever you are in the state. Really good economy for the most part. Lots of areas where you can go and do high-end car spotting. Lots of places in Orlando, Tampa, Miami. It's just none of that I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's like when rain, but frozen.
I believe that's called the heavenly effect of, you know, frozen precipitation is called snow. It's a wonderful, delightful thing.
I'm sorry. That word just triggered my gag reflex for some reason. I don't know why.
If you don't have snow, how do you call all the stupid people out of your state? Oh, hurricanes. No, I got it. No, I just put that together.
No. Those are called New Yorkers.
Got it.
or Yankees, whatever.
Yeah, I'll take New Yorkers being someone from Chicago. So we can all agree they're terrible. I'm just pissing off everyone today.
Chicago likes to think that some bread with a bunch of sauce on it's considered pizza. So I'm going to have to include Chicago with the dumb people from up north group.
First of all, you've had incorrect pizza. If you do this rally, it goes through my old neck of the woods, and I will get you good pizza. That's what you're thinking of is what's called Detroit style pizza, which is terrible. It's what Domino's makes, or not Domino's, Little Caesar, the pizza people.
Little Squeezers.
Yeah, I made a little hand motion too. I don't know how you saw that. I don't know. I don't like the idea of being eaten by a gator or a shark. That's really what keeps me out of Florida. Yet somehow I keep getting drawn back to it. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's either that or you freeze to death.
Yeah,
up
but
north. It's like I don't walk out of my front door and have to like fight seven gators, and there aren't sharks coming up out of my toilets or anything. Like, Maryland has sharks off the coast too. So.
Yeah, but I didn't live here by choice. I got married and made poor decisions.
So it is truly married land.
Yeah, it is very true. Oh, they hate when you do that too. It's so delightful. The other thing that's hilarious to me is like I can throw a rock and hit Baltimore from my, and I can throw a rock and probably hit Jessup from where I'm at too. But the proper idiom for someone who is from Baltimore apparently is Baltimorean, which makes election season around here absolutely hilarious. Like, I want to represent my fellow Baltimoreans. Like, how is that the actual name for this place? Like, that is crazy to me. Like, are you a Baltimorean? I'm a Baltimorean. Morons around. I mean, Baltimoreans around. That's crazy. I do like to know inspection and no sales tax or and all that stuff.
State tax.
State tax. Yeah. That's tempting. Yeah. I don't know. And you got NASA there, so there's some smart people in the state. So maybe I can be sold. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I get to walk out of my front door and look to the left, look out to the east, and I get to see rocket launches whenever they happen.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it is. And I lived here during the shuttle era. So many a time as a child was I woken by the double sonic boom of the reentry of the orbiter. So pretty special time in my life for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know, but I still think the reason they put Cape Canaveral there is because they went, these people are expendable in case the shuttle lands on them.
same with people in Houston then, right? Because that's where the other landing strip is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Texas is so big. What are you going to hit?
Right?
Exactly. Here's a weird fact I know. So Florida is the flattest state in the union, right? Do you know what the second flattest state is?
Louisiana?
Illinois, out of all states. I did not know that.
Huh.
Someone pointed it out to me because it's like you can see the rain coming towards you. And it's like, yeah, Illinois is so fucking flat, you can actually see into Iowa. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And now I live where there's mountains and shit. And it's crazy. And there's like a bay and some bullshit. Yeah. And yeah, maybe Florida not so bad. I like how this has randomly turned into the Florida podcast. So
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quick. What is with Maryland's strange obsession with eating crab?
So as someone who's not from here, I don't get it. It's okay. But like it's like you see it on the back of like everyone's truck. And that's your weird thing too. Like everyone has like a crab. Like all like the soccer moms have like a crab with like the Maryland flag on it, and it's like
there are so many people from Maryland down here in Florida that have the same thing.
I'm like, I get it if it's something special you do, but it's just a food item. It'd be like if I drove around with a deep dish pizza and a hot dog on the back of my car. I'm just a crazy person then.
I'm gonna. If you have a hot dog, for sure. But just the Chicago style deep dish thing, man. It's not pizza. It's a sauce pie. It's a sauce pie, but it's not pizza. You put the sauce on top of the cheese, you're wrong.
Incorrect. It's the proper way to do it. Deep dish is the right way to do it. I don't care if you're not doing this rally. I'm going to get a proper Illuminati's pizza. I'm going to take it down there. I'm going to shove it in your face. And you're going to be like, this is delicious. And I take back all the terrible things I said. At least it's better than that floppy, like, you know, kind of like pre-cum pizza they have in New York. Like, well, you fold it like a taco and it kind of has grease on it. Like, so the pizza pre-cums on you. Way to go.
That's the correct pizza. That's the correct way to pizza. My girlfriend is also from Chicago, or she's from Joliet, so she would agree with you. And she and I have we have bouts. She made me go to Uno's recently and get Chicago style pizza. It wasn't terrible, but again, I don't typically call it pizza. I call it sauce pie.
I am from right next door to your girlfriend. I'm from Naperville, so that's crazy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you're incorrect, but Uno's is a terrible place to try and win that argument. So it's like, no, hamburgers are delicious. Come on, I'll show you. Let's go to McDonald's. Like, no, like incorrect. Like that's the worst possible permutation of this idea. yeah. Let's tell you how backwards Maryland is. We don't even have a freaking Steak and Shake out here. We had one and it closed down. It's like, what?
No, here's what's really backwards about Maryland. Technically, you're a southern state. You're below the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah.
But I can't go anywhere and get a glass of sweet tea to save my life. Not even McDonald's serves sweet tea. And McDonald's is all about that diabetes. Like, Maryland is the land that God does not see.
This is – I will agree with you on that Maryland is effed up and shouldn't be considered a southern state, even though it is a southern state. But I will fight you as a Yankee. I will fight you over the sweet tea bullshit. If I want simple syrup with some tea flavor, that's what I'll order. Otherwise, just give me fucking tea. So,
there's so much more in sweet tea than just syrup or sugar. Sometimes you add baking soda to keep the acidity down.
That's just to keep you from vomiting from all the sugar in your system. car podcast, right? Somewhere in there, something.
Oh yeah. Oil's cool.
Yeah.
You ever used oil before?
Oil. You mean 710? Isn't that what it is? That's what it says. Yeah. no, if you look it upside down, it's 710, right? Oil. Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, oil or something. Yeah, it just gets all fun. See, this is what happens with this show here. Is it starts off as a car podcast, then we bash Florida and Maryland, and then we talk about food, and then we get off onto tangents here. So, I don't know. And you married you're dating a girl from Joliet, and she puts up with your sweet tea and not in deep dish shenanigans. As your folks would say, bless her heart.
She likes sweet tea.
We disown her. Not from Illinois.
She would fight you on that so hard.
Imposter. Sweet tea. Like, that's what Illinois. Drinking sweet tea. So, have you... Let's try and get this back to kind of car stuff. Have you ever been involved in a vehicular crash?
Oh, absolutely.
What is your best / worst story about it?
Best / worst. So I'll preface this by saying I have never been at fault in any wreck that I've ever been in. And I've been in my fair share. And I think that kind of lends itself to my irrational road rage is because I automatically assume that everyone else on the road has an IQ of a wet paper towel. Mm-hmm. The worst crash that I've ever been in, I was 15, right after I got my driver's permit. I wasn't driving. I was in the rear passenger seat of my grandparents' Chrysler Town and Country that they just purchased 3 or 4 months prior. Grandfather was driving, grandma in the front passenger seat, my cousin in the passenger seat to my left. We were towing a pop-up camper. We were on our way up to a campground in North Carolina for a week of outdoors and fun and campfires. And we were in Georgia making our way north, and we were headed through an intersection at about 60 miles an hour when someone in the oncoming turning lane decided to just pull out in front of us last second, no time to hit the brakes. With the added inertia of the trailer behind the van, and we T-boned them full force. The fortunate part was that we all walked away with basically no injuries other than my grandmother, who was in the front passenger seat. The airbag deployed and split her kneecap right down the middle.
Oh. Ouch.
The impact was so great that the trailer hitch broke, and the pop-up camper basically rear-ended us. So it was kind of a double whammy.
Yeah. That's no bueno. It's shocking, then, because I know like a lot of people would find that traumatic, that you continue to be interested in cars. So
It did take a while for me to get over my phobia of intersections, but eventually I did, and once you're a petrol head, you there's no going back.
This is true. You got the oil in your blood and some sweet tea.
Without down here, we say Earl.
Earl, yeah.
Earl.
I don't want Earl in my blood. Sorry, you got a case of Earl in your blood. No. I'm curious, too. One of the things I definitely want to make sure I ask you, have a gift for gab when it comes to the podcast stuff. Have you been in media, radio, stuff like that before you did this podcast with Freddie?
Sure, yeah, a little bit. I've done a couple of voice acting gigs here and there, and I would like to also further a career in voice acting or narration in some capacity. I would say late elementary, early middle school, up until that point, I had a very thick North Carolinian accent, very Southern, very Appalachian.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it upon myself to consciously remove that accent because, I didn't want to sound like a redneck basically. So that was kind of in line with the time I started noticing accents and speech patterns, and it just kind of became one of my hobbies.
So it makes sense. So kind of like a student of language your entire life, then.
In a way, yeah. I'm not going to place myself amongst, any greats or anything, but it's a thing that I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, at least. In time you'll be recognized for your achievements, I'm sure. There's definitely a talent there, because the voices, they're very good on the show, the ones I hear.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
that's what happens when you grow up and you don't have a whole bunch of friends and you have a whole bunch of free time to yourself, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've been there. I just wasted it all playing video games, though. That's what I did.
Me too.
Yeah.
I actually just recently had to replace my my Sega Genesis. It died, so I had to go out and buy a new one.
Oh, I don't know where my Sega is. I think it, well, no, don't know where it is. Did you have the one with the little microphone or the headphone jack on the side? Or did you have?
I did not. I think that was the, I think that was the Genesis 3 that had that. I have only had Genesis 1 and 2.
The headphone port on the side was basically like, I think the whole reason my parents got it for me, because it was, well, he plugs in the headphones, put it on the, and he just sits in front of the tele or the computer monitor and just stares at it, and we don't have to deal with him. Parenting.
I saved my old CRT TV from a kid, from when I was a kid, and I have my Atari 2600, Sega Saturn, Sega Genesis. I have PlayStation 1. Those are the consoles that I play regularly. Oh, and my GameCube. I have those all hooked up into like a signal switch, so I can just kind of like sit down and, you know, if I want to relive the 90s, I turn the TV on. I get that really high-pitched static noise, you know, when you turn the TV on, and I just kind of relive my youth.
Does it have a degauss button? Because that's like the best thing on the planet.
I don't. It does not have. This is a later a later tube TV. So it does not have the degauss button.
That's so. That's like the best thing. When I found one of our old TVs had that. Yeah. Boom. Everything goes funky for a while. Probably just flooding everyone with the radiation doing that, but so worth it. So, what was the first crash you were involved in when you were driving? Or maybe not the first crash, but maybe the most memorable, best, worst one?
When I was driving. That would be, this is back when I had the Saturn. I was coming down a side road in the town in Central Florida where I grew up, and I was going probably 35 or 40 miles an hour, and this lady in a Toyota Camry blows through a stop sign, and I T-bone her in the rear passenger side of her car. She didn't know any English, and the side of the car that I hit, the exact seat, is where her two young kids were. So they were freaking out, going crazy. And that's about it. It wasn't super traumatic or anything. It was just really frustrating. I got out of the car, and I'm like, hey, are you all right? And she started speaking Spanish, and I'm like, policia, nuevo uno uno. calmate, tranquilo.
Donde esta biblioteca? That's about all I know.
you're gonna need a little more Spanish knowledge if you move to Florida.
I know how to ask where the library is, and I know it's terrible. Hell with it. I've already offended everyone on the planet already. When I started working at McDonald's, that's literally when I started learning Spanish, because I had to learn it to communicate with the staff that worked there. So I know how, like, you know, like, I think her name was Christina. Like, Christina, like, uno más papas fritas, like, grande. Or, like, I forget how I said, like, supersize, because that was still a thing back then. There's some more, yeah. Like, I could see this being left in Florida. Is there supersize left in Florida? Or is it gone there,
no,
too?
No, it's just large.
I figured, like, Florida holds on to all the old.
Is Big E still a thing at Wendy's?
Oh, I don't know.
I haven't eaten at Wendy's in forever. Mm. Ever since they got rid of the Super Bar, I just kind of, you know, it's very lackluster.
I always get the 4 for $4 now, because I'm like, that's kind of healthy because it's a small, but like the small is the size of the old medium. Like,
like, by the way, French fries is one of my favorite words in Spanish.
Papas fritas?
That's papas fritas. Yeah. That or peanut butter.
Oh, I don't know that one. Ooh.
Mantequilla de cacahuate. It's just fun to say.
That is fun to say. I had to be taught that queso burguesa was not a thing. Like, well, it's queso burger. Like, no, it's hamburguesa con queso.
Yeah. Oh, con queso. Yeah. Hamburguesa con queso.
Yeah. Like, well, why isn't it just queso verguesa? Like, because that's not how Spanish works. I'm like,
that's one of the bands that opens up for Mini Cooper Sidecar.
Yeah, it's queso verguesa.
Yeah. Yeah. Queso verguesa.
Yeah.
Do you play that game where you just hear random shit and you just go, oh, that's a band name, and then you try and assign a band to it?
All my life. Yeah. All my life.
Mm-hmm. It was one of – this is maybe a little bit too much inside baseball, but in the ward when my daughter was born, they wanted my wife to, like, walk around and, like, do all sorts of, like, you know, well, the baby's not coming. We need to, like, walk around. Like, maybe that'll help break the water, blah, 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 blah. So it, like, made us walk around the fucking hospital for, like, a couple hours. And it literally, like, she's needed something to take her mind off of it. And she always hated that game. But during that time, it was like, this is what we're going to do, because there's nothing else to do to entertain ourselves. Just walking around, you're basically pushing the baby out from you. So that is an awesome game. And, you know, if you ever need something like, well, what are the bar stools and who do they open up for? Like that is right. Yeah. You know. Doctors' names, too, are great for that, too. I wish I could remember a couple of them, but there was, like, Dr. So-and-so, like, that's heavy metal, like that, 100%.
There's a grindcore band called Dr. Acula.
Yeah. Well, that one's easy, though. Come on, now.
Yeah, it is.
It's Dracula. I don't know what the hell grindcore is.
If you don't know, you're probably not ready for it.
Is this a weird Florida bath salts thing going on?
It's almost as if bath salts was turned into metal. Yeah. I would recommend, if you are wishing to begin a journey into grindcore, look up a band called, and this is all one word, I Wrestled a Bear Once.
Great band name. I will never forget that one. Well, what's grindcore? I Wrestled a Bear Once. Oh, that's grindcore. That is just nuts. Yeah. That is crazy to me. You're a very fascinating individual. You're aware of this?
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I talk to a lot of interesting people. It's one of the side benefits I get is this job, is I get to talk to, you know, racers, people, stunt drivers, stuff like that, people in the business, people who do podcasts, stuff like that. Genuinely one of the most fascinating individuals I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. And I mean that sincerely.
I hope that your listeners enjoy it as much as I did, because this is awesome. I love this format. It's so cool. So anytime you want me back, just say a date and I'm here.
We could come back and talk more about Queso Burguesa and when they're opening up. Grindcore. I'm going to Google that the moment I wrestled a bear once. That's just crazy to me. I want to sit and pick your brain for, like, the next couple hours, but I'm supposed to keep these things to an hour in theory, so I will definitely have you back whenever, because this is awesome. So I'm curious. I feel like I should end this with some sort of automotive-related podcast. So let me go pull into my little bag of tricks here and let me just say, in the automotive world, in the automotive profession, you know, so we're talking anything from the guy who changes oil to, you know, Sergio Margione, like, or, you know, stunt cars, race cars, something like that. What is the thing you think you'd either be the best at or something you would just really want to try to do in the business?
I would like to replace Valentino Balboni. To just be a really slick, suave Italian dude that wears aviators and gold chains, and literally your job is to just drive Lamborghinis. I want to live that life. Mm-hmm. I want to be that guy. I want to walk around in some, like, khakis that are, like, one size too tight, with some crazy white leather loafers and, like, a black shirt that only has two buttons done up, and just have, like, the perfect hair and just kind of walk around and talk with my hands and drive Lamborghinis. I want to do that.
I get that. I feel like if you're going to replace them, though, you need to have, because I think their new test driver has like some sort of like crazy last name too. I think you have to have a crazy last name. Ooh, new game instead of the band name game. Lamborghini test driver's names. So that's a good one.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Ooh, we got to come up with a name real quick. We got to come up with a name.
If I was going to come up with names, by the way, this show would have a name. So.
No, I like Untitled Car Show.
Well, I feel like all that's coming in my head right now is I wrestled a bear once, but like that's a bit of a run-on sentence for an Italian driver. Like,
I got it. I got it.
What's that?
I got it. My name would be Tony Gorgonzola Zamboni.
So, the new Ferrari Aventador Zamboni edition. Like.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, no.
It's the Aventador Ragu edition. Like, no, see, it's got to be like Berrettoni or something like, Rapido edition.
If you drive the Ragu edition, every girl to get, when she gets out, she'll be prego. If you know what I mean.
Hey!
Hey, it's a spicy meatball.
I think you're missing one. I think if you were a test driver, like, Howoli, like, you just try and, like, Italian up your last name a bit, like, Andrew Howoli. Like, oh, it's the new Aventador Howoli edition. Like, oh, it's like howling. Ooh.
Howolizione.
There we go. Yeah, see, that works. Aventador Howolizione. Yeah, see, I like that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's like an Italian howitzer.
Yeah. Hurricane Howolizione. Like, it works. Yeah, that's nice. Lamborghini, I think we got to send your resume over now. We're going to have to embellish that last name. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They need to make their cars bigger so I can fit.
I've never had the opportunity to sit in a Lambo. I need to fix that.
Are you over 5 foot six?
Yeah, about half a foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm 6'4". It sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, my father is full blown Italian and short man, like 5'7", but my mom is the same height, so I got my height from her. But so,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you want to be into cars? Like, here's a car, I don't fit. Here's a car, I don't fit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, you should get a Miata. No.
No. Mm-mm.
You want to go for a ride in my S2000? Sure don't.
No. Yeah. So. Here's a good one to end on, because I had this experience once. I wanted, again, I'm a crazy person. I like Saturn. I wanted to buy a Saturn Sky. I wanted that to be my first new car I purchased, because I thought it was a gorgeous vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the dealership. I talked with them. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get into this car. I'm going to absolutely love it. I didn't fit.
No, you're not. No. Nope.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Did not fit.
Yeah, not in the least. I tried driving a Solstice, which is the same thing. Yeah. And yeah, no, it's awful.
Yeah. And I remember the being crestfallen and the dealer being like, well, we have the Astra red line. You might fit in that. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, I'm just going to go home and like sulk. Cause like, that's what killed the deal was I can't fit. Like, I can't drive this car off the lot if I physically can't fit in the car.
That's true.
So what was your first experience with that?
That would be the 1988 and a half Ferrari Testarossa.
Mm. Well, that's a good first experience.
I tried to sit in the driver's seat and just couldn't get my legs under or around the steering wheel, and the pedal box was as big as my right foot. So that was a no-go. I knew I wouldn't be able to drive it, and I did end up kind of shoehorning myself into the passenger seat of a Countach. And that was an experience. Didn't really get out for about 30 minutes because I'm in a Lambo and I'm not getting out.
Yeah.
So we just kind of, rode around and, he stopped for gas and I didn't get out of the car. So it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Once you get into a Lambo, you're going to have to pry me out of a Lambo.
Yeah.
That's how that works. I mean, A, because I'm not going to walk it out, and B, you're going to have to pry me out.
Like literally.
Yeah, like literally go get the bar and all that. Andrew, it's an absolute delight talking with you. I am going to have to get you back on the show so I can pick your brain more about crazy stuff. And I'm going to have a grindcore report for you the next time you're on the show.
The grindcore report?
Yeah. that's the name of the show. That's the new name of the show, Grindcore Report. isn't this about cars? Who gives a shit? I wrestled a bear once.
Oh, man.
So it's late. It's, oh my God, it's almost 11 o'clock. I have been up for way too long today. It's a delight, Andrew. I'm going to say goodbye to you off air. Everyone listening, I will be back with you after a quick little break. Andrew, thanks again so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm already looking forward to the next time I'm here.
Oh, I got to do this before we leave. I can't believe I almost forgot. Tell everyone where they can find you and find your program before we go.
Oh, yes. So you can find the podcast on YouTube, Wrench Everyday Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Wrench Everyday. If you want to ask us a question, you can send us an email at iWrenchEveryday@gmail.com. My personal info, you can find me on Instagram at HeavyMetalFL or on Twitter at 1565. That's the word 15 and the number 65.
And follow at Wrench Everyday on Twitter because they don't have nearly enough followers.
And we don't ever tweet, so it's really good. We won't clog up your feed. It's good stuff.
There you go. Like all the fun of social media without having to interact with them. Perfect.
Hey.
Yep. All right. I'll be right back, everyone. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you heard, tell a friend, loved one, coworker, whoever you think may enjoy the program. I'm joined by my daughter right now. She's going over her colors. That's a good job. So you can find us on all social media. Search for at Untitled Car Show or just Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to all the good places to find us. Make sure you follow our West Coast correspondent, Ryan West, at Ryanator122. And make sure that you give us a ranking or review on iTunes. If you want to send a show an email, it's at UntitledCarShow@gmail.com. Or UntitledCarShow@RifleDown.com. One of those two will get to me. All right. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. Have a good night. Have a good evening. Wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thanks so much for listening.